Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the One Day at a Time After Show. Today we are going to be talking all things season two, everywhere from Elena's new love interest to Lydia and Schneider becoming citizens. Plus, we have two very special guests in the studio. Stay tuned, you're not going to want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is it.
Woo!
Oh, we got the lights and everything. Oh my gosh. This song like gets me so pumped. It's like the one theme song I don't skip. Like this and House of Cards, yeah, I'm like, exactly. Let's just.
Wait, House of Cards theme song?
Yeah, it gets me pumped. It's like the instrumental, it really
How dare
me.
You compare Gloria Estefan to,
I'm sorry,
to,
I'm
to music.
Right.
Anyway, what is up, you guys? Welcome to the first ever One Day at a Time After Woo! Show.
Yeah!
We're on AfterBuzz TV.
This is the best one to be on.
I am so excited to be here hosting. I'm your host, Taylor Gates. I am joined by a phenomenal panel of Danny Royce
what's
and
up,
Rick Hong.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Plus, we have not one, but both of the co-creators here. We have Gloria Calderon-Kellett and Mike Royce.
Woo-hoo! Hello.
Thank you guys so much for being here. This is so exciting.
It
We're
is
so glad
so
that you're joining
We've
us.
Never been up this late.
Well, we brewed some coffee after the show. If you need a little pick-me-up, feel free to take a little doze on the couch. Just whatever you need. Whatever you need. So obviously, we have a lot to discuss, but before we do, just a reminder that if you're watching with us live, you can hop right in the YouTube chat. If you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear what you thought of this season, or if you have any questions for Gloria or Mike, maybe we'll ask them on the show. So, diving right in, what were your guys' overall thoughts about season two?
I mean, for me, I love every topic that you guys covered. I mean, immigration, making jabs at a certain president,
right,
and
right.
I mean, you know, and I mean, just the just exploring, yeah, Elena's like love interest further. The I feel bad for Justina Machado because you make her cry so much right. on the show.
It's true.
I mean, because she's just emotional roller coaster. I mean, just the depression and just, you know, wanting to. I don't want to have kids, but I love looking at that little baby. He's so cute. I mean, I got a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend.
Right. No, absolutely. I love it. I love the whole show. Rita and just, oh my God, they
great,
play off each
the
other
great Rita
amazingly. Like, just the different aspects that you bring up in the show regarding, you know, the president and all that stuff. There's just so much drama, and it reminds me of my family. I'm just wondering, are you going to have some more Afro-Latino representation coming
yes.
up?
Yeah, I mean, we would love to.
Yes.
I think it's always, really, with this show, we don't have a lot of guest cast, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Very little guest cast. So there's so many things that we want to do and so many people we want to have on. And we definitely hope to do stuff like that. But it's all about what serves the story best.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Season
well.
Three.
My thoughts on season two, again, I loved it. I thought it was so great. What I think is, like, such a wonderful accomplishment, like, and it's all owed to the writers and the actors, obviously, but the fact that you can juggle drama and comedy so
right,
well, like, it's
right.
so hard to find a true dramedy, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like this show is, like, just the perfect mixture of that drama, like, dealing with really serious issues, but, like, making it so funny. I laugh so hard every single episode, and you're laughing 1 minute, you're sobbing
like this.
The next
it
minute.
Goes like this all
yes,
the time.
You never know what to expect, and there's just so many tonal shifts and turns, and it's just, overall, just a really, really high-quality show, and you guys should be extremely proud. It's
yes.
amazing.
Thank you.
Of
hey.
Course.
We're going to come here all the time.
Yeah.
Please do. You're welcome.
That's the
that.
End of the show, right?
We just receive compliments and then nod. Okay.
That's AfterBuzz for you. So diving kind of right in with the more... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I have a question. So I have to say that you guys couldn't have started it off more right than... Whose idea was it to do the teaser, season two teaser, with the remake of the original.
Where,
like, you know, the updated Bonnie Franklin, Valerie
Bertinelli.
I
think that was Sig.
Yeah,
Dan Signer.
Yeah, Dan Signer, who's a writer on the show.
Yes. Very, very funny guy.
Great, and he's created a couple of
shows. Yes, he has. Excellent shows.
He had seen, we all knew the old credits, but he had seen the actual season two credits of the old show, and realized that the cast for that particular season totally matched up with the cast we had. And, you know, he just brought it into the room and said, this will be fun to do. And we took his idea and took credit for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm nice. Literally, like, I couldn't, Mike, I don't know if you know, but, like, I know Gloria knows. It's like my other show on AfterBuzz TV, Netflix picks. I talked about and I showed that teaser of the season two. And I was like, there wasn't a better way to start to say hey, it's coming on Netflix. And right. then, and there it is. And I was like, oh right. my gosh, it's like throwback old school.
Right, right. That was and, yeah. awesome.
Yeah, and the other thing that's really cool is the belt that Schneider is wearing. Pat Harrington Jr.'s family let Todd Grinnell use the actual belt for
wow.
that.
Wow.
So that was the real original Schneider's belt, which was super cool.
That is so awesome.
That is awesome.
I love it. Like, not to delay getting into, you know, the actual season any further, but I feel like you guys and just the show in general does a really great job of, like, playing the social media game so well. Like, I love seeing the, like, bloopers that you guys release and the extended scenes right. on Twitter. Like, it's
Mike Rice.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Rice.
I mean, we just go through the season. We got smarter this, you know, this season because any potential thing that we didn't use, if it's any good, we just save it and use it later, you know? So, and we don't have, you know, we're not on a broadcast network where they can make a whole special out of the bloopers. So we have to do it the way we do it. It, you know, works. It works really well in today's... the way social media mm-hmm. works.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's just a cool thing to do. People get very excited to see somebody go, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a really, really great way to keep people engaged. So diving right in to kind of the more specific aspects of season two. So starting off, let's just start off with Alex, because I feel like the first episode really kind of focused on him, which was like such a kind of breath of fresh air, because I love seeing him kind of grow up and figure mm-hmm. out who he wants to be and come into his own. So when we first see Alex in this season, he gets into a little bit of trouble. He punches a kid for telling him to go back to Mexico on a field trip, which, oh my God, guys, I don't know about you, but it broke my heart so hard.
Well, it's really, really interesting because I watched that episode and I tweeted Gloria because that hit home for me.
Right.
Because I grew up in Midwest Nebraska and you don't see too many Korean people in Midwest white Nebraska. And yeah, it's like a lot of my childhood was very much just like, go back to your country.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when you guys wrote that as the first episode, I was like, I relate. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that's something just great about the whole show in general. It's very relatable, no matter, like, what background you come from or anything like that. I'm just sitting there, dale, papito, dale, dale. Yeah, that, it was heartbreaking, though. It's truly, they don't need to go through that at such a young age, but it happens.
No, yeah. And it's cool to see, yeah, first she's mad at her son. Right. Why would you get into a fight? And then she hears why the reason is, and then all of a sudden it's like, I get it.
Right, exactly.
I love the moments where we see Penelope kind of being a mom. Like, those are some of my absolute favorite scenes because she's such, like, she's almost the ideal mom because she's, you know, firm and tough, but she also is very understanding and really listens to her kids. I actually, like, wrote down a line from that episode that I love, which is like, who you are is Cuban and American and most of all a sweet kid who doesn't hurt people. Like, I think that just really kind of sums up how she reacts to things mm-hmm. and just handles all this, you know, hard stuff that she has to handle sometimes. So we see him, like, punch the kid, obviously. And I love the end of that episode, how it was kind of bookended by the celebratory family moments.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like with the baseball scene. Every time someone tweets like a gif of that, I just can hear it in my head.
We sang it a lot in the writer's room.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so upbeat. And kind of at the end, at the ice cream shop where they finally kind of like confront the guy who's telling them to be quiet and right. using like the racist language. I just love how it was bookended by the celebratory moments.
Right.
Because I think that speaks for kind of the show is there's going to be hard stuff in between, but we're always going to come back to family and, you know, joy and happiness, which right. I really liked.
Yeah. And Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Anne Hathaway.
The joke was too good. So kind of going throughout the season with Alex, I also feel like he's kind of learning, like, the value of money this season. I thought that was kind of an interesting theme. The movie theater episode was one of my personal favorites just because I went and saw it shot. Like, I went to the filming of it, and so I was, like, so excited just waiting for that one to come out, especially. It's so fun to see it, like, go to the screen and everything. But he also goes to work with Penelope. Uh-huh. What did you guys think of that storyline?
I mean, I agree with you. Like, the movie theater stuff was, like, awesome. I mean, funny. And so then, yeah, funny. And just, like, the shoes. It's like no, you're going to pay for your shoes. And
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she teaches them great responsibilities. And the theater scene was one of my personal favorites because me and my mom, we were always go see movies together. Still now, she texts me and say, oh, do you know who won the Oscar for this and that? You know, so it really brought that home nostalgia feeling. So I love that part.
I thought it was so sweet, too.
Great. Yeah, it was so sweet.
He was kind of embarrassed about, you know, going right. to the movies with his mom. And then he, you know, finds a way to really bond with her through that, which I thought was so great. And come on, every girl sneaks snacks in, like,
thank
in
you.
Their purse.
Everyone.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, you got to get a little more creative. But
I've done a little bit in my
You know
mind.
What? They can charge normal prices in a theater. How about that?
Exactly.
How about we change that narrative?
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I mean, yeah, that's why you do it. But I mean, like, I also, like, just love the timing, the directing, the timing of it all. It's just like, wait.
Right. Waiting for explosion.
Yeah. Their comedic timing in that episode and for that scene was hilarious. It was.
You know, we deal with a lot of important issues on the show. But I would say I've never seen someone so passionate about this particular issue, snack food being brought into a theater, as Gloria was for this storyline in the
I was very passionate about it. It's true. I brought Dino Bites into a theater before.
Oh my god, like the chicken nuggets?
Yep.
Iconic.
Oh, dude, I love those
yes,
things.
Yes, I have. I really? Brought Dino Bites in. Yes, I have.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
Now, were they still warm?
Of course they were.
She's not an amateur.
I'm okay. No amateur.
Yeah, like, where'd you keep them?
I'm not chump.
So kind of moving on from that, kind of moving on with the mother-son bonding, we see him going to work with Penelope because he's got to, you know, save the money to earn the shoes and everything. Right. And I love how that kind of played out because I didn't expect it to play out that way necessarily, how he's super bored by it at first. And then, like, he sees his mom getting kind of mistreated by one of the mm-hmm. customers because he thinks she, like, made her overpay. And I think that he really starts kind of respecting her after that moment and kind of sees what she goes through, which I really loved. And then at the end where we learn that she helped a woman with, I think it was cancer, to have a child and have it named after Penelope was so, like, heartwarming and wonderful. And I don't know, I love seeing him... just kind of learn that his mom's more than just his mom. Like, she's a real person. I don't know if that's what you guys felt.
Yeah, he's like, he's not just being, like, you know, you could, because he's the youngest brother, so you could go mm-hmm. that route of, you could keep him the brat if you want to. If you really, really wanted to. Right. Like, you're the youngest, you're the, you know, the son, you're a brat, you know, like, where's my father type thing, or, you know, I don't have a dad around. But instead, like, yeah, he learns to respect, and he's growing, and he's maturing, and that's what's been great about Alex's storyline for this season.
Right, and I think what's very important as well is he's noticing her strength, like, as far as being a mother and a woman, being a single mother. So that's very important. I think it's being relayed very well in this TV show.
Absolutely. And I love his relationship with Lydia, too. Like, those two are so funny together.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
And I think that he's kind of, he respects her as well. Like, obviously, they have, like, a cute little relationship, but I think that he is noticing her strengths as well, which we'll get talked to a little bit later when she is in the hospital. But I don't know. That's one of my absolute favorites is when those two have scenes together because they're hilarious. Oh, they're such a good pair. And you kind of touched on the fact that, like, his father, his relationship with his father. And so also in this season, Elena thinks he's, like, texting a girl, but ends up being his dad. Were you guys surprised by that?
I was. But I thought it was clever, too.
Yeah, Poppy. I thought it was Poppy. Really clever.
Yeah, like, that was it was subtle, but it was there. But yeah, and then that's another thing about seeing his character mature.
Right.
Like, he's meeting his father to try to mend fences as opposed to just, well, I don't have my father around, so, like, I need to have some son-father bonding time.
Right.
So that was a cool reveal, too, to see, like, that's what he was doing.
What surprised me more so was his ability to try to mend things with his sister and the father. That was, like, I'm not just here for myself. You know, I'm here for her as well. So that was really great.
Yeah, I love that sibling relationship, too. I love all the relationships.
Right.
On the show. Like, they all have, like, a lot of, like, prominent moments and strengths. Mm-hmm. And so I loved that, too. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, what, you know, what girl is he texting? And and it's his dad. And I was like,
Yeah, Marcel was disappointed. He wants a girlfriend.
The funniest thing is
it's my dad. Come on, right. You guys.
His delivery was great when he's like, okay, guys, you're right. I'm going to fess up. He's like, I'm straight. His delivery was so good. Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah.
We lucked out with those kids for sure.
Oh, and so he, good. You know, had a date with like a 30-year-old later in the season.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's so, true. I mean, there you go. Yes. Yeah, you gave him some respect.
Yes, we gave him a little bit. Yeah.
Of course, I mean, she was just there to make another guy jealous, but it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. He got it for a second there.
Exactly.
What were your guys' favorite kind of storylines or moments with Alex this season?
There's so many. So many good ones.
That one? No, yeah. I'm trying to I feel like we've kind of covered like the movie theater scene was great with his mom, and then just like how his sister is kind of like alluring, was like maybe you're like me, maybe you're like I'm not like you. So
yeah, I think definitely the movie theater, that was one of my favorites, and just seeing him grow as a character and as a person into a man, like we went through it, I'm sure, like you know, just when that moment of time when you're like, okay, I'm not a boy anymore, and you tell your mother and you tell everyone, it's like, I'm not a boy, I'm a man, and no, you're still a boy. You're not paying the bills or anything. So it's just it's a really great like transition.
For sure. What do you guys have a favorite one that you have written, or like a favorite like moment on set like with the character?
Well, we wrote the one where the first one,
yeah,
where
the churn
punches the kid. And that was very close to both of us. That was like a lot of in the early part of this. I mean, before season two, we had that idea sort of about what's your word? What's the word that sets you off?
Yeah. Mm. Because we were, so Rita Moreno, Justina and Rita and I went for drinks once, and Rita was talking about the word spic. Mm-hmm. And how for her that was such, that's her word.
Yeah.
And Justina and I were like, we never, like, I wouldn't care if anyone, like, it's just not a word that has any meaning for me.
Right.
And it was interesting that for Rita that was her word because it feels old-fashioned to us now. And then we were talking more about what those words are for us. And, like, slurs wouldn't bother me, but, like, the word lazy does. That's the word that kills me. That's the one.
Nah.
Oh, that word gets me. You can call me a lot of things, but you can't call me lazy. So it was, you know, and then, like, you made the joke of
Schneider, of course, hating the word white. You hear how it sounds? It just makes me sound, you know.
And
there was just a good, obvious discussion there. And it was, you know, my son is Alex's age, basically. He's turning 16 soon, so he's a little bit ahead. But the whole teenager thing was happening at the same time that we were talking about this. So it was sort of in the writer's room that people came up with the idea that we think it's the typical, maybe typical, but maybe still good show about here's the kid who is his grandma's favorite, who's going to now turn into a monster because he's a teenager, but there's a deeper reason for this particular behavior. So we got to sort of have our cake and eat it too and do our teenager show and then also, you know, then get into something much more important.
Mm-hmm. So you have, so you have like a lot of reference then. It's like, it's like if you're at home with your son, it's like, I'm going to put that in my show.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't say it. I'm going to put that in my show.
Yeah.
The ultimate threat.
I would say it's the tone of voice that you're using is a little incorrect. It's more like, oh, now I got to put that in the show.
I love it. Well, moving on to the other child in the house, Elena. She is still being a wonderful activist. I love her so much. I feel like I can relate to her so much. And she found a new love interest, which is so, so wonderful. But kind of starting at the beginning for her, we touched on it a little bit already with Anne Hathaway, but she's worried about passing for white because someone assumes that she's Schneider's daughter.
Right.
And she is kind of insecure about not knowing Spanish, which was very interesting. But I loved the fact that as the season went on, she did start learning Spanish, as we could see. Were you guys surprised that they kind of kept going with that and didn't just, like, drop it? Like, I wasn't, I guess, because, like, you guys never just let anything, you know what I mean? Because there's so much continuity, which is awesome. But what did you guys think about starting in that place for her?
Well, for me, I really relate to her. Just as far as like everywhere I go, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you're just black, but there's a whole much more to me. You know, I'm mixed. You know, and it's just when I speak Spanish, they're like, oh, oh my God, like how do you know Spanish? And it's like, so it was very relatable. And I love Elena's character, but the funniest part was when she didn't know whether the other girl was gay or not. And then Rita, I was like, she wear makeup. And she said, no, gay. So, but I wasn't surprised at all that they kept that going, because I just, her character, she just, activism, you know, she's just really after whatever she wants and she doesn't quit until she gets it. So it didn't surprise me, but it was really great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of growing as a person, too. I mean, it's a little different from you, but, like, when I pull out my Spanish, people are just like, whatever. But when I started speaking Korean, they're like, oh, you speak another language. I'm like, what? I was like, Spanish doesn't work for you, but Korean does? I was like, okay. Right, like, that right, works. Right. But, no, but same thing for me, like, growing up, you know, because I grew up in Nebraska, so, like, I didn't have a lot of other people to speak Korean, too, but my parents spoke Korean at home, so I learned. And it's almost kind of sad, though, because, like, I don't have that journey where, since I'm here in L.A. now, my Korean should be so much better, but instead my Spanish is good, and like, my Korean's, like, all right, so. No, but, I'm not surprised. I mean, like, you guys are all about growing these characters.
Yeah,
so really I'm like actually not surprised by that.
I really
that.
Like that.
Yeah, and we kind of touched a little bit about, like, on her activism, and I just love the fact that it's kind of sometimes played for laughs because, like, she's pretty extra. Like, she's a little extreme in some ways. And the fact that, like, Lydia and Penelope don't always quite get it, but they're trying to get it. And that's what I really respect, because I don't think a lot of parents just, you know, automatically understand all of this stuff. Like, my parents don't. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that when she starts kind of explaining it to them, like, they listen. Like, I love that relationship. So yeah, I thought that was great, and I think everybody just wants to talk about Sid because, like, they're such a wonderful character. Non-binary?
Correct.
Non-binary.
I love that, and the fact that she's also, is she part Latina as well?
Yeah, she's Mexican. She's half Mexican.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. And like, it's all over Twitter. The cookie scene is all over Twitter, yeah, which I absolutely love. It's like one of those, like, just, I feel like, famous, like, connecting scenes is the, you gay, me gay too. Like, gay. Oh my gosh. What was your guys' initial reactions watching kind of that interaction?
I mean, I like the misdirection that you guys did. And then it's just like, boom, this is where it's really at, with, like, the between these two. And, like, yeah, like, they're great together.
Yeah.
They're great together on the show.
Yeah, that was hilarious, that whole interaction. I loved it.
I love that too.
Sheridan Pierce is awesome.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
She's so funny, and she has such a great voice. And
it's like
presence,
a
and so warm and cute.
I feel like they're a little bit like when they had Frasier, then they had to make Niles. Like, not that they were in a relationship, but there was, like, Sid is even nerdier than Elena. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as Lydia points out.
Yeah.
Right.
That song that she made up to ask her to the dance, I get that stuck in my head all the time. It is so catchy.
That'll make Michelle Badillo and Debbie Wolf and,
oh my God,
yes,
so Caroline Leavitt very happy.
They pitched that song like the
yeah.
first day or yeah. something.
Oh,
I forget.
Wow.
It was some really early thing where they just said, oh my God, she's got to do this proposal. And she says, I don't know. I don't know who said it first, but and then it just we instantly had this long song parody
and
that,
you know,
oh, I guess
Billy
that's going
Joel's,
in the show.
Billy Joel's like estate had to approve it.
Oh wow,
they had to approve the lyrics.
Really?
Yeah.
So Billy Joel's woke. Okay, everybody.
No, it's funny. Daniela Gonzalez, thank you for watching. Like in the chat, she's just like, yeah, Sid's promposal to Elena. She's like, with exclamation points. Like, yeah, she loves it. So.
And I loved how much, like, relevant, like, recent-ish stuff they included, because it sounded like something real teenagers would say. They were referencing, like, Supergirl and all these, like, you know, gay icon shows that are on right now. And I just, like, really appreciated that, because sometimes when you hear, you know, adults writing
old
teens,
people.
It's like, not old people, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just not... It's not quite there, but this was, I think,
that's
so...
a credit to our staff of young
yes,
people.
Yes, I had to look up a couple
yes,
of those things.
So.
If I had written it, it certainly wouldn't have. Yeah, no,
so
that came from
they
them.
Were also, yeah.
Was there a backup if the estate didn't approve it?
Oh, yeah.
We never had to go down that road.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, that's great. Wow. I wasn't sure if you were going to be like, well, we're shooting soon. So
no,
we have a deadline.
We were just like, oh, man, I hope he approves it. And then they...
He approved it.
He did.
Nice.
I also love the fact that Elena was so against going to the dance, but then the second she's asked, she's like, of course I'll go. Like, that's so Elena. You know what I mean? It's so in character for her. And kind of going back to the more, like, serious part of it, the fact that she was kind of worried about asking people if they were also gay. Like, gauging that is so difficult. Like, yeah. As in, you know, lesbian myself, like, that's super hard thing to balance, and you kind of assume people are going to be like, oh, that's so awkward now. And so I love that you guys, like, really tackled that, and because it's a real hard thing, you know?
It's a real thing.
So I thought that was so great. And they had their first kiss on the balcony during the crazy lockdown. And I love the fact, like, they are both, like, very cute and awkward, and how Elena just accidentally insults it a lot, like, between the fact that they're stuck in the house together to being at the dance and thinking she's ashamed of her. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that they really talk it out and handle it really maturely.
Right. I agree. Yeah. And also something that's very special is, like, the acceptance of it in the household, which is, you know, out of its stereotype, whatever. But it's that in itself is incredible to bring that on the show. So.
Yeah. And kind of going back to Elena's relationship with her father, they were not on such good terms. They weren't even speaking for a lot of months. And the scene where he confronts her had me, like, bawling. It was such a good scene. It was so emotional. And just the fact that they end on sort of a positive note, but there's also some awkwardness and gray area. Mm-hmm. I really thought that felt very authentic. He's not all of a sudden like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But he's also not shutting her out completely. How did you guys feel about kind of that uneven, like, not uneven tone, but...
Well, regarding that episode, I do have a question. Because, like, how much time in between that the episode, like, the current part of it, and then you guys go to the past? How much time, like, when did you guys shoot the two different eras of the... Like, yeah, Elena, like, growing up. Because, like, I was looking at, like, the shaving of the
facial
beard.
Hair.
Yeah. How long did it take you to grow your beard back? Or did you, like, do everything? And it's like, okay, now we're going to do the flashback, shave, and...
That's exactly what we did.
Yes.
Yes, we shot everything with the beards first, mm-hmm. before a big hiatus.
Because Todd
is the one that needed to have his beard back. So slowly we were taking down Todd's beard. And then for that episode, we shaved it. And then we shaved... James Martinez.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who plays her dad and who looks like 30 years younger without a beard. And then Todd started growing the beard back.
I like how you guys told the story. Mm-hmm. It was like she was your most precious thing, and now you have this hard acceptance, even though there's not really that much as, like, she's still your daughter.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, she has a different sexual preference than you thought, but, like, she's still your daughter, like, the most precious thing you had in your whole world, and it's like, you can't let that go, you know, like, you can't let, just because she prefers women as opposed to guys, and that's not in her control.
Right.
Yeah. I love how they paired that with you guys, you're right here. Oh my God.
And the writers and the actors,
paired the flashback with that episode in particular.
Yes.
I think it was very affecting and a really good choice.
It was lined up very well.
Yeah. So Elena's a strong woman, and speaking of strong women, do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who got you there.
One day at a time after show.
Yes, the one day at a time after show. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
Check it out, guys.
So, our fearless leader, Maria Menounos.
Our fearless leader. And so, someone who I really think would benefit from Maria's podcast, Schneider. Moving on to Schneider. He's continuing the season to be the comic relief.
So great.
A very loyal friend to Penelope. But we also kind of learn a little more about him and get some more depth and layers to him. So kind of starting out with a lighter topic, he's currently friends with benefits, with a mom from the school.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
And gives relationship advice to Penelope that's not super great for her.
Right.
What'd you guys think of his kind of relationship advice for Penelope in particular?
Very Schneider-like.
Yeah. I mean, he's hilarious. I'm just like, the writing for him is also great.
He tries. He means well. He gives it his best shot. But okay, he kind of shined this season in his career, which you wouldn't think so right away. You know, he's not fixing any of the stuff they need fixed as their landlord. But we find out that he is staying for like 4 hours at these people's houses because he doesn't want them to feel lonely like he did in his childhood. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I was very surprised by that, how he kind of views his tenants as his family, right, which I thought was just so great. Did you guys expect that to come out of kind of that storyline starting out?
Not at all. When it did that flashback and when they first met Schneider, they're just like, it was kind of like this pest they just wanted to keep away. But then time after time goes by, you know, he became family, and that's, you know, ultimately what he wants, you know, family.
Yeah.
Because he never had it, really.
You know, it's the same thing. It's like, that's with each character with the show.
Right.
That's what you guys keep building dimensions and, you know, the growth of the character and, like, us learning more about who they are. They're not just, yeah, we have this character here who's just the comic relief.
Exactly.
Or we have the youngest son here who's just going to be, like, the brat. You grow them. You know, this is what you might initially think, but actually there's more to each of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you guys have really done a good job of in season two, is driving their growth and, like, us really learning who they are and caring about them, as opposed to, go back to this person's storyline. We don't care about.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. And he's also had a lot of struggles, like, in his life, like, besides just his dad. Like, he's been very dependent on and addicted to drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I love how he kind of brings in his own experience to help out his friend. Like, he's just such a good friend, guys. I want a Schneider in my life.
Hey, you all have a Schneider.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a Schneider. I guess that's pretty true. And then his story ends very happily at the end of the season with him becoming an American citizen.
Well, hence why, like, I'm in my red, white, and blue.
I love it.
I don't really dress like this. You guys know this, but, you know, it's my tribute to Gloria and Mike and then Schneider and just, like, the season finale of
awesome.
USA and the citizenship. And so that's why I was like, where's my red and white and blue gear? Like,
I love that. I'm not going to lie. I was a little worried there when he was taking the test with the super mean test giver lady. I was like, oh no, what are we in for? Like, is he going to be in Canada in season 3? Like, what's going on here? But
that would have been fun.
Yeah. That would have been with all the moose and maple syrup, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was so excited that he passed the test, obviously, and got to celebrate with the family. I think he's just such a fun character and such a fun... an addition
and it's cool how you guys created his character, because I mean, I remember the old series, like, I watched it and I didn't quite know everything, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, Schneider was this schluppy guy, but you made him like a hipster.
Right.
You know, just a hipster. It's like, I thought it was so clever. We'll make Schneider a hipster, and it's awesome. That's what makes it even more funnier, because, like, hipsters didn't exist back in the old, like, one day at a time regime. So
Yeah, you guys, I think, took what made the original, like, really great and just put your own spin on it, which...
A very clever, awesome, new, like, updated spin.
Yeah.
Were there any challenges that you ran into regarding putting your spin on the new rendition of One Day at a Time?
Well, Schneider was the hardest character to cast, because it was the... It's so hard. It's such an iconic character from the 70s, what Pat Harrington just
did.
I didn't grow up on the show, but I knew who Schneider was. And I think that was very... A lot of people would come in and sort of do Schneider impersonations, and we were like, we can't do that. And we kept rewriting.
Yeah, we had kind of written it a little more, you know, not... Yeah, it evolved. It evolved. It started a little bit more like the old guy, even though we were trying to get away from him. So it took a while. It took a while to find...
To get his voice. Yeah.
Oh, actually, Todd Grinnell, the genius guy who plays Schneider, helped us a lot when he came in to read. He just said something that kind of sparked a way to write for him that... It's a good thing he ended up getting the part.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he said this is a guy who's writing a book about himself, always writing a book about himself. And he also said he grew up with a bunch of these guys, you know, privileged and
well-meaning,
right,
you know.
Right. Never like white-collar guys who like the idea of being blue-collar, because being white-collar isn't cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that really, I mean, that kind of opened up the character, I
Absolutely.
Think, for us. And then he knows how to play, you know, he's so good at playing it that, you know, he just brings it all together.
So yeah. we could like, theoretically, we've seen like a totally different interpretation of the
Schneider
character without
Todd. Oh, yeah, we saw women. We saw, we
lots
saw
of
women.
Really funny people.
Oh. Yeah, we saw so many funny people for that role. Oh, my gosh. But that was, yeah, right till the end. Right till the end.
Yeah, I think
that's amazing.
He's one of those people who's really great at playing really, really funny, but then being able to rein it back in and play really deep and emotional. One of my favorite scenes was when he was visiting Lydia in the hospital,
right,
and stringing up all the lights,
right,
and telling
yeah.
the story. Oh, that was one of my favorites. So kind of moving on, and speaking of Lydia, so she is still kind of developing her relationship with Dr. Berkowitz. Whatever that is.
Whatever.
We're just friends.
Oh my gosh. What did you guys think of their relationship this season? Because it was very up and down and complicated.
Yeah, no, I know. Because what I enjoy was I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, Steven, isn't he like way younger? And it's like, I love that. You know, even though she looks beautiful. I mean,
oh,
she looks beautiful.
Gosh.
She looks
of
great.
Course,
but I was just thinking,
he's the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I was like, this is great. I was like, I didn't think that that's where you guys would take that storyline.
I didn't think so. Either.
I didn't at all. So I was like, wait a minute, this is really, really intriguing.
Yeah, it's when she's very protective of it as well. Like, she wants to know where he's going, and did he make a left or right? Like, it's just those things that you throw in there. It just shows how she wants the relationship to go further, but we'll see how it gets there.
Yeah, and kind of going back to the hospital scene where, like, he's so in love with Lurgic, even though he's, you know, kind of seeing Esme, the
right.
other woman with the Scarlet Sunrise lipstick.
I mean, literally one of the best. One of the best scenes ever. The two of them just going back and forth, like in that women's bathroom, right? Like, I mean, just
the Battle of the Divas.
Yeah, just like, oh, wait, when did you come here? Like, you know, it's like, oh, 61. Oh, I came 75. I mean,
yeah,
you know, just
right.
like, all right, yeah. I don't
trying know. To one-up everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Yeah.
And, like, that's where they bond over. Like, they hate each other, but then when they find out they have the shared connection, like, for a hot second, they're, like, best friends.
Right.
Like, oh, it was so good. It was so funny. But, yeah, in the hospital where he's like, I know that I'm never going to be the love of your life, but I hope it's okay that, you know, you're the love of mine. I was like, wow, that is... He's such a stand-up guy. Like, he tries so hard, and
does.
I ship them, guys. I like them.
No, I mean, and then they're dancing together. That was that was really, 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 really cool to see, because I didn't realize until I was watching the Oscars, and I hope she doesn't kill me for saying this, but like, she's 86.
Yeah.
I mean, she moves so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, yeah, when she
she has a six pack.
Yeah, in her arms, I'm just like, what?
Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal.
No, it's crazy. It's not fair.
Oh, my gosh. She is so crazy. But obviously, Lydia still is kind of struggling to, feel like she's keeping her Cuban heritage, like,
right.
being over here. Of course, she didn't register, or she didn't become a citizen and therefore couldn't vote at the beginning, which she ends up finally, you know, kind of becoming okay and at peace with that and, like, moving past that in order to become a citizen and vote. And another one of the storylines that I, like, was very surprised by was the one where she's keeping all of the stuff. Like, the umbrella, like, this is where we, you know, sat. Maybe they made love. I don't remember exactly. Probably,
knowing her,
and all the magazines that were the only thing she could read when she came over. And so I just thought that was, like, so cool. It always goes to a deeper place. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I like the joke. The joke is like, I like money in the magazines. And so like, they're in the dumpster and stuff. It's like, it's just like, boom, throw Alex. And then she's like, Mom, what are you, Mom? He's like, we were looking for hours. He's like, what do you mean, we?
Great. It was so genius. Classic Lydia. Like, she's so smart. She's so cunning.
Yeah, you guys do a great job of writing for her.
Right,
yeah,
right. When she enters a room, it's like you just, all eyes on her. Like, it's done.
I loved it. And also, another one of the storylines that is, like, especially super relevant today was the fact that she actually had a gun in the house and that kind of conversation. What did you guys think about that particular storyline and the interactions between Lydia and Penelope about that particular topic? Because it's so, so, like, important
today.
Same
thing. You guys are like Nostradamus. I mean, it literally, it's weird because, right, the whole series drops. And I think I watched that episode around the time of, like, when current events were happening. And I was like, how? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was just like, how did you guys, like, write this episode and it's still happening? Or, like, why does it happen in real life?
It's unfortunate that gun violence is so prominent in our society that something we hoped would not be happening was still happening.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, it's unbelievable. I mean, and powerful, yeah. Like, and same thing with the show is that you guys touch on a lot of hard subjects and growth and, you know, like depression, immigration. And that was something that I didn't see coming. I didn't see the one with, like, the gun coming and then, like, how she's telling her mom, she's like, do you realize who's in this household?
Yeah.
You know, right. I have PTSD, you know, and, like, all the reasons. And then she's like, I got it.
Yeah, and I just think, yeah, Lydia, she really didn't understand, because coming from a different time, you know, when you had guns in your house and gun violence was not as prevalent as it is today, she needed to be reminded that you do have, you know, children in the house, and, you know, it's not okay, even if it's not loaded. So, but I think that interaction between the two was perfectly written.
Like, well, and she gave a very good, you know, we wanted to make sure it wasn't, that it was, we were seeing a lot of angles, and she gave a very good defense of why she had the gun coming from a country where, you know, the government took everything, and, you know, she has a perspective that makes sense,
right.
You know, and we didn't have a lot of time for the discussion. We wanted to do a gun show that was, you know, we wanted to get into that subject naturally, but without having an entire 30-minute gun control discussion, right. You know.
Right. So. And you still handle it powerfully enough.
Yeah, definitely. You got the message across.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Absolutely. And kind of showing the other angles, we also see Penelope's angle. She's like, oh, I she had one too. And she's, right. You know, trained with it in the military. And so kind of just having that discussion, like that angle with it too, just added a whole other layer. Like, it's just so nuanced and wonderful with that. But kind of, sorry, go ahead.
I have to say this. Please don't kill me. Martina Caviedes, this is what she just wrote. Elena inspired me to come out to my parents. Thank you so much for the show.
Oh my gosh.
So Martina, I've just relayed your message to them. So sorry, I know we're a little bit off subject, but I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to say something because that's powerful.
That's worth it. Wow. That's definitely worth it.
It impacts so many people. Yeah.
And Martina, good for you.
Good for you,
yeah,
Martina.
Yeah, congratulations, Martina. Wow, that's amazing.
Be happy
with
who you are, for sure.
That's amazing. And kind of speaking of the real issues, and also the gun control debate, someone in the chat was like, can you guys please talk about the episode Hello Penelope? Yes, we can, because one of the absolute standout episodes of the season, I think, with her deciding to go off of her meds and kind of feeling the real effects of, like, depression and PTSD. What were you guys' thoughts about, you know, that episode and that storyline?
Hence what I was, like, telling you guys. I mean, you really... I mean, I don't know. She looks at her script and is like, oh. I was like, really? I gotta cry again?
You know what? She's a pro.
And
She really loves it. She loves when we give her that stuff. We're very fortunate to have an actress who is so excited to take that stuff on.
Yeah.
Because it's emotionally exhausting, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, she's putting her body through that, and she can do it. I really do feel she's one of the best actresses of our time.
Yeah, like, I've covered many after shows here, and I don't say this a lot, but and it's not because you two are here, but, like, for that episode, like, I would not be surprised if... you know, like an Emmy nomination came out,
right.
Because that subject matter is so important. It's not, told as much. And so you guys did a great job with that. And her performance,
her performance.
And yeah, and then when she's dealing with Schneider, you know, it's like they have their relationship, but she's not in her right mind. And so she just pulls out just like the knives and just is like, well, you know, you got your problems and issues. Like, don't come to me. And, you know, and at the end of it, luckily they reconcile and he understands that it's not her. It's like the being off the medication part.
Yeah. I just want to say she is, you know, when you have someone that talented, you just want to keep giving them, try this, do this. I want to see you do that. Oh my God. You know? So it's just such a pleasure to like hand someone to just, she makes us more creative because we can give her all this stuff. And, it just step back from the writing of it. It's she just gives like an acting clinic in that episode. It goes through every stage and performs it in a way that, you know, she's funny and she's she's angry, and then she's goes through everything that she goes through. And anybody who's watching this, I don't know why you'd be watching this if you haven't watched the show, but if you are, I think when people talk about that episode, it sounds a little like, oh, an episode about, like, you know, going off antidepressants, that doesn't sound funny at all. It's not in certain spots, certainly, but, you know, I hope people watch it because it's to see what she does in it, the range, and, you know, and it is funny a lot for the first part anyway. I marvel at everything she does.
You know, I mean, it's interesting for me because I actually read about a soap actor who had depression issues and they went off their meds. And it's one of those things where it's just like, no, I feel good. So, like, I think I can do this. But it's like, no, it's like what's making you feel is like because you're on it. You can't just do that without talking to a doctor. And like, then it's funny you guys wrote this. And I'm watching it. And I was like, it made me think to, like, this interview with that actor about him going off of his depression meds. And how it was just like, it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that whole episode was so raw. And it showed, like, again, we just talk about so many layers. Like, it wasn't just one scene of, like, you know, being in bed and whatever. Like, you guys, like, got very deep into it and showed, like, the actual real effects. And, like, her therapy sessions, I love the fact that it's not all just, like, you know, sitting around and being sad. Like, she has friends in, like, her therapy sessions. And there's ups and downs there, too.
And good for you to have Mackenzie Phillips in it. Who's had you know, control, like, substance control, like, drug problems and everything. So it's like awesome. She's from the original show. So it's a, like, it's fantastic that she's like the counselor.
And she's a therapist. She is an actual counselor now. So she takes time off from doing that to come be with us, which is really cool. But she's awesome. We're so lucky to have her come.
Yeah, we have a little deleted thing that we should put out there.
Oh, yeah, we should. That's right.
You're welcome, guys. Give me the content. Were you guys nervous at all, like, before writing that episode?
I mean, yeah. Yes. I think anytime we take on something that's an issue, we want to do right by the people that it's their truth. You know, certainly the veterans' issues and the depression and anxiety issues and the LGBTQIA+ issues. It means a lot to us that we get that right. And so we try to do our research and we try to talk as a room about our experiences, and not only our experiences, but one thing we tried to cover in that episode was how it affected her family, how she'd kept it a secret, mostly from the kids. But we see it, with the relationship with Schneider, where she lashes out at him. Mm-hmm. And so to be careful in the creative process of it and then put it out and then have people come forward and hear that they feel really seen means a great deal to us.
Yeah, that's awesome. And kind of, part of the reason she decided to go off her meds was because of her blossoming relationship with Max, who, love that character so, so much.
I mean, good for you guys. And, like, Justine is a babe. You're a babe. But then to give him, like, to give her an equal, like, hunky man.
Right.
I was like, because when you first introduced him, I was thinking, I was like, oh, he's just going to be here for, like, maybe an episode. They're going to flirt. It's going to be like, no. And then also, then he's there for, you know, and I'm just kind of like, great. And then she's getting some.
It's like just the relief that she needs. You know what I mean? Like, it's with the meds and everything else that she has going on, this another relief that she needs. And I had no idea he was going to last this long, but I'm glad that he did.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a great kind of partner for her. Like, he has such a funny sense of humor. Like, he's such a funny guy. He's so understanding of, like, oh, I don't necessarily want to tell my family yet because, you know, she's thinking about her kids and, mm-hmm. and all of that. And I love how just understanding he is. Do you think that you guys, do you think that we've seen the last of him, or do you think he'll be back?
I think he'll be back.
he's so good. They're so good together.
She can't get enough.
Yeah, I want to say, like, yeah, I mean, I would love to see it. You know,
I mean, I'd love to see all of us back. I mean, that's really true.
Exactly. Yeah. That is true.
Well, and they have that history together. You know, he's like, I've been in love with you for like 15 years. Right. I'm like, wow.
I'm like, wow.
I love that. You waited together. That long. So, that's like, is there any other like storylines or moments that you guys want to really delve into, or should we move on to a couple last questions that we have for our wonderful guests here?
See. Well, guys, give it your shot to us now, and I'll try to scroll through some. But I mean,
yeah, I have a couple from Twitter earlier. Let's see, were there any storylines involving Sid that you didn't get to end up executing during season two? Because I know a lot of people just really loved them and wanted to see more.
I think some people felt like they didn't get to see enough of her at the end, right? Because
yeah.
she wasn't really in the last two. There was the yes. dance, and that was just because those two stories filled. We just didn't have any room, you know. So, yeah, I don't think there wasn't a specific thing that we didn't
there wasn't
do
a,
yet.
No,
but.
No. We did talk about having her in the hospitals, and we talked about having Max in that too. Actually, we had a scene. We had it written with Ed in it initially, and I think our first draft of that was like 50 minutes.
Yeah, it was so long.
It was so long, so we just had to start making cuts. That's the thing.
Mm. I'm going to truncate Danielle Gonzalez's question to you guys, but what did you guys think of when you signed up Rita to the show initially, and then she's also saying, who would be a dream guest star for season three when it gets picked up? Hurry up, Netflix. What's going on with you guys?
Guest stars. I mean, Valerie Bertinelli would be great.
Yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh.
She's doing a cooking show. We tried this year to get her, and she has a very difficult schedule.
Gloria Estefan,
of
yes.
course.
Uh-huh.
Those would be big ones for us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow, that's awesome. Any characters that you planned for the show that didn't quite make the final cut or anything like that?
Characters.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, everybody that we wanted. I mean, we're so lucky with our guest cast. I mean, Hanifa Wood, who plays Jill, Judy Reyes, who plays Ramona.
Yeah, I was like, going to say Judy. Yeah. It's great seeing
her. I mean,
her.
We
yeah.
have, like, incredible people that come just for an episode here right. or episode there.
The original conception of the show had Victor around, actually, a lot.
Oh, okay.
And this was before we even knew who Victor was, really. But that was pretty early on.
So, Vane Sant, thank you for... I've been reading your stuff. Thank you for watching. And this is what he says. Lin-Manuel.
Oh, well, obviously. I mean, he's busy being a movie star.
By the
now,
way,
we
really appreciate there's definitely people pitch all the time
yes.
on Twitter.
Yes.
And, you know, we're open to all of those people.
Yes.
Most of them are very busy. Who?
Yes, I know. Lana Paria, we'd love to have her. She's
yeah.
busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love too. Her. We love her. We're big fans.
So many. Unfortunately, we have to wrap because we're out of time. But this was so much fun. And
Sorry. Like, just Gloria, I know that. Okay, guys. So Gloria, like, I know you're waiting for a pickup for. I had the pleasure of being there for her new pilot, I guess. Right. And I'm hoping it for the pick for in May at the upfronts. That history of them. I know that's like something that you just worked on, right. Mike. I mean, like, is there a next project for you, like, that you, like, I mean, we'd love to know, like, what you're working on.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on an animated pilot and another multi-cam pilot. They're in much earlier stages than that
okay.
ours is, but,
okay.
you know, hopefully soon, you know. But
we're working on the empires, you guys.
Yeah, okay. We're building our empire. The most important building block is, where is my camera? One day at a time.
We need a season three pickup, Netflix.
Go.
What is going on?
Yeah,
Let's
I mean,
go.
We've had like 50 petitions and all these huge writers from like Variety and Hollywood Reporter are coming out and writing these amazing articles.
I mean, National
Hispanic
Coalition.
Come on.
Like, this is important for one day at a time to be picked up. That's huge.
The support
it can't
has
be
been
the
really
end. It cannot be the end.
It won't.
Well, once again, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to us.
Yes.
Where can everyone find you on Twitter or Instagram for all the deleted scenes and news?
Oh, yeah. Well, the deleted scenes and that stuff is at ODAT Writers, ODAAT Writers. I'm at Mike Royce.
I'm at Everything Gloria.
Awesome. Where can everyone find you guys?
You guys can find me at Soy Rico Suave. R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G.
And you can find me at I am Danny Royce.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphaba_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gaze_. Thank you so much for watching, and hopefully we'll be back for season 3.
Yes!
Yay. Thank you, guys. Go.
So, what do you want to...
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Season 3!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.